I don't know if you've noticed or not, but this weekend up in Columbus, they're having what they just shortened to call the Arnold now. Right? I don't even know what the whole title is. We've been calling it the Arnold for so long. But it's where all of these weightlifters and health people and all that come together and I don't know exactly what they do. I've never gone. It's kind of a little intimidating, actually, for me. It's that time of year where you really start thinking about, you know, I really need to go to the gym. And so I did once this week. I lifted weights, and I could barely get my robe on today. My arms are so sore, right? It's something I need to get into the habit of. But one of the things that has always amazed me is to watch some of these bodybuilders and weightlifters at the kind of the transformation that takes place. They have pictures sometimes where they were kind of this little scrawny kid, and then how many ever years later they've got all these muscles and things like that. It's transformation. And today we're talking about transfiguration, which is a little bit different. It's a subcategory of transformation. Transfiguration is transforming into something that is more elevated or beautiful. Right? There's a lot of transformation that takes place in life, and we're all undergoing transformation every day. We get one day older, and we have new experiences, and people and things come along. And that transforms how we see the world. But transfiguration is something that is more intentional. It's more nuanced. It's special. And so today I'd like to just take this passage that Keeley read for us and talk a little bit about a couple observations that I have about the topic of transfiguration. The first thing that I think we see is that this transfiguration of Jesus happens not in sort of the normal everyday kind of timeline and place. Jesus takes his disciples up on the mountain to pray. It's where we get these mountaintop experience line. And so it was something special. It was something unique. It was something different. And oftentimes, transfiguration of our lives happens not in the ordinary times, but in times where we are set aside, or that we set aside, or that are set aside for us, to be different, unique, and new. This is honestly part of the reason why I like doing interims, because the interim period is sort of that different time, and I think it has all sorts of opportunities for transfiguration of people and of communities. So we sometimes need to embrace the times of change or of uniqueness, not as something we need to fight against or just kind of grudgingly go through, but as opportunities to see a further transformation on a higher and more beautiful way. The second thing that I saw here, though, is people don't quite know what to do with you when you're being transfigured, whether as an individual or as a community. It's not the normal thing, and so people don't quite know how to handle it. Remember that story of Icarus and his father, Daedalus? Remember, they were jailed on top of a high kind of tower, and so Daedalus decided to make wings for Icarus and himself. He took the feathers from the birds that flew around and took the wax from the candles and formed these wings. It's an old Greek story. And remember, his father told Icarus, don't fly too close, what? To the sun. because it will melt the wax and make the feathers fall off. But what we don't know, and oftentimes don't hear, is that his father also told him, don't fly too close to the water, because the wings will become wet, and then you won't be able to fly that way either. So really what the story of Icarus is, although we often hear it as him being this person that's too full of himself and too prideful, really what the story is about is his father trying to get him to fly within the normal range of flying. And sometimes when our lives as individuals or as a community are being transfigured, people's first response sometimes is to say, you know what, you're flying too high, or you're flying too low. You need to stay right here in the middle. Transfiguration does not lend itself to raising the level of comfort around in and among the people around us. It often causes a great deal of discomfort. A lot of times, that's where we start backing off, or that's where we start trying to get people to conform, and not transform, but to conform. And that is one of the great challenges to transfiguration. You see, what Peter said, he didn't know what to do. And when Peter didn't know what to do, he just talked, right? That's we know some people like that, don't we? A lot of preachers are like that. So what he said was, Jesus, it's really good that we're here. We'll build some shelters. And I don't exactly know what he meant for Jesus and Isaiah and Moses, or for them, or I don't know what he exactly meant. But he didn't know what to do. And so that kind of discomfort and that kind of confusion oftentimes will fly around transfiguration. And so it's good sometimes just to know that that happens. Because I would imagine that as you or as a community of faith, as God transfigures us, there will be a sense of discomfort or of confusion. I think that's to be expected. But the third thing that I pull from this passage is that a period of transfiguration is best done, if we can, with others. As individuals, we go through periods of transfiguration. As communities, we do it, but it's always better if we can have people to help us along the way. Because sometimes it's not necessarily a good thing for the only voice we hear in our head to be our own. Does that make sense? Sometimes that voice isn't always the most accurate. I was serving a church once and had a parsonage not too far from the church, and the driveway came out. There was a hill that, kind of a sharp hill that came down. It was kind of a blind area right there, and there was a road that came out just across from my drive. And one day I was outside getting ready to go to the church, and I saw this car stop and then pull out, and then this other car come over the hill and smash right into the side of them. And so I ran out, and it was a husband and wife, and they were hurt, and we called the ambulance, and the ambulance came and picked them up and took them to the hospital. And I actually went on to church. We had some kind of meal there that day. And I was telling somebody about it, because there had been wrecks there all the time. And as I sat there, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to run to the hospital just to check on them. So I drove over there, and I went to the hospital, and I asked, I didn't know their names, so I asked for the couple that got in the car wreck, and they took me into the room, and when I walked in, the man just stood up and was just so grateful and came over and hugged me. And he said, "We can't get a hold of anyone to take us home. Will you take us home?" I said, "Well, sure." And then I ran out to my car and like pushed all the stuff over so that they could get into the car. Yeah. And I told them, "It's like this because I've been traveling so much." But that's not always true. So I pushed it over so that they could get in, and they came out. I pulled the car up, and I helped. His wife was really banged up, and so I helped her get into the car, and I took him home. And a couple days later, I got a phone call from him. And they asked me if I would come to dinner. And they were a pretty wealthy couple, lived in this gated community, and so I went to their house. It was this great big house. And we sat down and we started having dinner, and the man said, he was a very direct man, he said, "Well," he said, "the reason we've asked you to come here is because we have been sensing for a while that our life needs to change, and we would like you to help us do that." Right? And I didn't know what to say at the moment, so I complimented the potatoes as I was trying to think through what the next steps were. And I said, "I would be happy to be part of that. But," I said, "I think you also ought to meet some of my friends. And they go to this church where I go to." Now, my friends, I'll be honest with you. I don't think all churches are places where people should go. I don't. I don't think they're all places that will take people in moments of transfiguration and try to help them become what God wants them to be. I think sometimes they want to take people that are hurting and try to make them into what they want them to be. But this particular community, they were good people. And I would sit there, and they started coming regularly. I kept them off all the committees on the church for a while because I thought that was good not to get them on too many of those. And the worship leader is this older man I just love so much, and he had this way of when he sensed that God was doing something, he kind of put his head down and smile and just kind of nod, you know, real slow. And I watched as he watched them and kept putting his head down and smiling and nodding. And I watched the transfiguration not only of their life, but then of their daughters and granddaughters, and then they start doing a youth group, and we start having all these youth. I watched the transfiguration of that couple and their life, and then the whole church. Because they were willing to be the place that someone could come and let God work on them the way God wanted to work on them. I feel like this is that kind of place too. I've been so happy to be part of this journey with you all, forever how long it is. But mostly I'm happy because of who you are and who you were before I even got here. And who you'll be and how you'll live long after I go. You see, transformation is something that happens all the time. Transfiguration is something that is rare. It's something that people don't often understand. And it's something that a community needs to be willing to live with and help and participate with. That's our calling. I hope we will continue to be transfigured so that all others may be transfigured as well. Amen.